You know, sometimes we think, listen, parents, sometimes we think we've hidden our sinful behavior from our children. Parents often fool themselves into believing their children don't know their sinful behavior.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, Pastor Brian Grant will bring the first part of another message in his continuing series taken from the life of Abraham. In this message, Pastor Grant takes up an issue of recurring failure demonstrated in the life of this great man of faith that will be instructive to the believer struggling with a sin that, like a block in the road, just won't seem to let him or her past. No matter how much grieved by some issue of un-Christ-like behavior, no matter how often tearfully repented, it seems that some things keep rising up to slap us in the face over and over again, and we cry out for deliverance. This message may help. Listen now as Pastor Grant brings his message entitled, Battling Besetting Sins. If you have your Bibles, you may want to keep them handy as Pastor Grant will be calling attention to a number of different scriptures. Here now is Pastor Grant.
Four pastors were at a retreat, and they sat around a fire. And while they were sitting around the fire, one of the pastors came up with a bright idea. And he said to the others, why don't we start sharing our besetting sins? He says, I'll go first. And he said, my besetting sin is that sometimes when I am in the office, I slip away and I go to the racetrack to bet on horses. The second pastor said, you know my besetting sin. I keep a lot of liquor in my basement. And he said, anytime the deacons get me frustrated, I go home and I go to the basement and have some drinks. The third pastor said, I have a punching bag at home. And anytime the church members get me upset, I go home and I think about that member and I start punching. So it was the fourth pastor's turn. They said, so what's your besetting sin? He hesitated, and then he looked at them and he said, my besetting sin is gossiping, and I can hardly wait to get to a telephone. I'm speaking today about besetting sins, and I want to focus heavily on Genesis chapter 20 as we resume talking about Abraham. But in Genesis chapter 20, Abraham left Hebron for Gerar in Philistine territory. Abraham was a very rich man and a powerful man. Sometimes we miss that Abraham was a powerful man. The Bible says he was very rich. And he was obviously quite powerful because he had a trained militia. Remember when Lot got captured? Abraham pursued the five kings with his trained men, trained servants, and was able to rescue Lot. So Abraham, as we come to Genesis 20, it is important that we have in the back of our minds a man who is by no means a scaredy cat. Abraham is rich and he is powerful, and he comes into Philistine territory, and for whatever reason, he is afraid of the king Ahimelech. Very interesting. So what does he do? He now says to his wife Sarah, please tell everybody you are my sister. You are not my wife. And so soon after, Ahimelech took Sarah into his harem. But you may say, Pastor, why would Abimelech take this 90-year-old woman into his harem? Well, I don't know the full answer. The Bible doesn't tell us. But I have a feeling that it's not because of her beauty. Now, please don't think I'm being politically incorrect, because I'm by no means suggesting a 90-year-old woman is not a beautiful woman, because we have a 94-year-old, one is 94 this January, and she is as beautiful as she has ever been. So listen, it might not be, she probably was still beautiful, amen? But I have a feeling that this instance, because in chapter 12, the Bible specifically tells us that Sarah was beautiful. In chapter 20, it doesn't mention her beauty. And I am suggesting that the driver for Abimelech was not so much her beauty, was for more political and economic reasons. Abimelech wanted to make a deal with Abraham. You know, even today, mankind historically sometimes marriage is because we're trying to make a political or economic alliance. Am I right about that? And so I believe that was the driver here, a political or perhaps an economic alliance. And so Abraham, he takes into his harem, as it were, marrying. He takes... The sister, or the so-called sister of powerful Abraham, he brings her in. Later on in the book of Genesis, we'll see that there's actually some deals made between Abimelech and Abraham. But what's surprising about the story here in Genesis chapter 20 is that it's almost a replay of what we saw in Genesis chapter 12. Were you here when we preached on Genesis chapter 12? But in Genesis chapter 12, Abraham went into Egypt and he told Sarah to tell Pharaoh the exact same lie. Genesis chapter 12, he tells Sarah, when you go to Egypt, tell them you are my sister, because you are such a good-looking woman. Now listen, Pharaoh might desire to have you, and if he wants you, he's going to kill me. The same lie. As a result, God sent great plagues on Pharaoh's house, and in this instance, so eventually Pharaoh cast Abraham out. You remember the story? Abraham was thrown out of Egypt. And you would think that after all that drama, Abraham would quit his lying ways. Wouldn't you think so? That after all that drama, that after Abraham had a chance to reflect, that listen, his wife was put in danger, the name of God was put under, was put in a bad way, he was thrown. But that was easier said than done. Abraham is right back at it. Abraham is continuing his lying ways. It seems to me lying could have been Abraham's besetting sin. What are besetting sins? Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Here's how the Bible reads. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Thank God it's possible to lay aside the sin that so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. A besetting sin is any sin that has an especially strong hold on us. Did you hear what I said? A besetting sin is any sin that has an especially strong hold on us. And this morning as we talk, it is my hope that the Spirit of God will bring to your mind your besetting sin. that you will not take this message as a message for sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so who is not here, because God wants to talk to the ones who are here. The word beset means to skillfully surround. Beset means to skillfully surround. Just like an army surrounds its enemy, a besetting sin is continually seeking to overcome us. You get that? You see, it's the whole idea of surrounding. And besetting sins tend to surround us. And everywhere that we turn, it tries to trip us up. Do you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you've asked God, God, please forgive me. And the next minute, it's back. Guess what? Christians struggle with besetting sins. Christians struggle with besetting sins. Very often, we have victory in many areas of our life. This morning, by the way, those of you who were in the adult Sunday school, this message is as relevant as ever to what we were talking about this morning in the Sunday school class. And so by God's grace, we have had victory over here and there. But somehow there's one or two sins that we struggle with over and over again. Or if you're here this morning, don't pretend. I can identify with you. I've been there. And if most of us are honest, we would admit we're either been there or we're there right now. But thank God, there is victory available. Amen.
In a moment, we'll rejoin Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message. First, let me share a special gift offer from Living God's Way. We're happy to make available to our radio audience The Word for You Today, a special daily devotional designed to encourage your walk with Christ. This daily devotional is available free and postage paid on your request. You are also invited to attend our Bible Institute each Tuesday night at 6:45 p.m. For details about the 4 Bible courses available, please call our office at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. We look forward to hearing from you. And now, let's return to the conclusion of today's message.
Besetting sins are like a piece of furniture that you keep bumping your shin into. You ever had that happen at your house? There's this, every time you take, you bump into this thing. And so after a while, you know, you get very careful and you're trying to watch it. And you don't bump in it for a while. And then the very minute you think everything is okay, and you're not paying attention, and you're not thinking, boom, you smash into it again. Wow, that's how besetting sins are. I want to ask you, what is your besetting sin? Is it lying? Is it cursing? Is it gossiping? Is it a sexual sin? What is your besetting sin? If we're going to get victory, we need to at least admit to God this morning, God, here is what I am struggling with. And God, I want victory today. Is there any danger? What is the danger of besetting sins? Let me give you a few things. Number one, besetting sins always hurt others. I'm going to confine my comments primarily to what I see in this text. But besetting sins always hurt others. If you look with me at Genesis chapter 20, verse 18, the Bible says, "For the Lord had closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Listen, isn't it interesting that our sin impacts innocent people? Even God told Abimelech that he had done it in the integrity of his heart. Abimelech was totally innocent, but Abraham's lie hurt Abimelech's family, although Abimelech had done nothing wrong. And I want you to know, my friend, no sin is a private matter. Our society lies when they tell us, and over again, as you watch the news and as you listen to the so-called experts, they tell you we shouldn't be concerned about what some group in the society does because it's their business. But the Word of God is telling us that your sin affects others. No sin is a private matter. Every sin, listen to this. Every sin will eventually hurt someone else. Do you hear what I said? Every sin will eventually hurt someone else. So when you're at college and you're in your little room, and you think you can do your thing and it won't hurt anybody else, you are fooling yourself. But second, besetting sins may damage your family. Turn with me, hold your scripture there in Genesis 20, but flip over to Genesis chapter 26. Go to Genesis 26 and let's read together verses 6 through 9. So Isaac, who is Isaac? Talk to the preacher. You can talk back this morning. Who's Isaac? Isaac is Abraham's son. So here we are in Genesis chapter 26, verse 6. Isaac, this promised child, is now dwelling in Gerar. Did we see this name before? That's where we are in Genesis 20. Isn't that amazing? Isaac has now come right back to the same place. And the men of the place asked about his wife. And what does Isaac say? She is my... Where in the world does Isaac get this from? She is my sister. For he was afraid to say she is my wife. Did we ever hear about somebody else who was afraid to say it was his wife? Did his daddy say that? Because he thought, lest the men of the place kill me for Rebecca, because she is beautiful. They love beautiful women, amen. Oh, she's so beautiful, they will kill me. Here comes the same thing. Now, it came to pass when he had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked through a window and saw, by the way, this may not be the same Abimelech. Many Bible scholars believe that Abimelech, like Pharaoh, is a title. So it may not be the exact same person. It could be, but this may be another leader of the Philistines. We know it's the same group of people. He's in the same place. He's facing another Abimelech, or the same Abimelech. And Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked through a window and saw, and there was Isaac showing some love to his wife, Rebecca. Amen for showing a little love to your wife. Amen. Then Abimelech called Isaac and said, something is wrong. Quite obviously, she is your wife. So how could you say she is my sister? Isaac said, because I said, lest I die on account of her. You know, as I studied for this message, I had to wonder. The Bible doesn't say this, but something tells me lying was Abraham's besetting sins, and that Abraham was so challenged with a little lie here and a little lie there that Isaac picked up this sinful trait. You know, sometimes we think, listen parents, sometimes we think we've hidden our sinful behavior from our children. Parents often fool themselves into believing their children don't know their sinful behavior. Daddy's into pornography. Somebody's into drinking or cigarette smoking or weed. And they have a little place. They hide all the evidence. You know, when they come to church, they use a little peppermint or whatever it is. And so as far as we're concerned, we have hidden the evidence. The children don't know a thing about it. And then all of a sudden, several years later, the children are caught in the same sinful act. I want you parents to realize, listen, the traits you want to see in your children, you had better practice them. And the traits you don't want to see in your children, you had better not be practicing those in the so-called secret. Children know much more about the family secrets than any of us realize. Did you, when you were a child, ever do a little digging? Do you know sometimes children, for whatever reason, they're home-minded, and they have a way of opening a drawer here or checking a little there. Sometimes children, this is not a children's message. I won't tell you all the tricks of children, but guess what? You probably had a few yourself when you were small. I'm here to tell you, my friend, I'm here to tell you that these besetting sins, one of the reasons you and I need to get rid of these things is because if we are not careful, it's going to reappear in your children. It's time. It's time to lay it aside. You see, there are two groups here this morning that the Spirit of God is speaking to. There is a group who know they have a besetting sin, but they don't care. I'm trusting the Spirit of God will shake you and say you ought to care. But there's another group who has been struggling and they care and you want to get the victory. We're going to show you how to get the victory in a moment, but would to God we would all care. Third, don't miss this. Your besetting sin, listen to me, and I don't want you to miss this. Young person, are you here? If you're under 45, say amen. Oh, you're scared? I'm not going to do anything to you. Your besetting sin, they may cause you to miss God's perfect plan. Do you realize that Abraham was less than a year? Remember now, the Lord had appeared to Abraham in chapter 18, 17 and 18. Abraham was now less than a year from getting the dream of his life. What was the dream of his life? A son by his wife. The promised heir. He was less than a year away. And he almost blew it. You say, Pastor, how could he blow it? As long as Sarah was in Abimelech's harem, the promised son could not arrive. Have you ever stopped to think about that? How in the world could God send him a son while this woman is in this man's harem? If she got pregnant, come on now. You're one of the Philistines, and this woman shows up pregnant. Whose baby is it? Are you with me this morning? This man. Oh, I hope somebody's listening. This man almost blew the dream of a lifetime. He was this close.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I am a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. Or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you to tune in the same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.